Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that we can bank on your word any time, day or night, in every circumstance. Father, there's nothing bigger than what you are and who you are. And I thank you that you gave us your word, that we may get to know you and get to know the things that you've freely given to us. And Father, we pray that there would be understanding, illumination, and a desire to learn more about you in your word and all that you have for us in it. And we thank you, we bless you people in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last time we talked about some of the names of God that are very redemptive in nature. I know you memorize them. I know what they mean. And I'll hand out the paper for the quiz. Well, one of the names that we talked about was Jehovah Nissi. Remember what that meant? He's my banner, my refuge. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Rapha, my healer. Jehovah Shalom, my peace. Jehovah Rohi, my shepherd. Jehovah Tsidkenu, my righteousness. And Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there or here with me, with us. We talked about those and refreshed some of our memories. Others just looked like a fish in the refrigerator. The eyes open, didn't see anything. Then a couple of weeks ago, we talked a little bit about the prayer of petition, and which he also called by some circles the prayer of faith, believing God for things. And in there we discussed a few pointers, and I'm going to go briefly through some of the things that we talked a couple of weeks ago. You know, I'm called to be a pastor, but I believe I'm also called to be a teacher. And as a teacher, I like to be repeated. And if you don't appreciate that repetition, I would say I do it for me. I'm the one that get the most benefit out of it, because I get to be reminded of the things I have to walk constantly. So one of the pointers of the prayer petition, as we add God for things, is first of all to determine really specific what you want from the Lord. We need to know what we're asking. We need to be specific, not just Lord save the world type prayer, but Lord, I would like to have, or I need this, or I need something very specific. We talked about finding in the Word where you can actually ask God for those kind of things. Because there are some things that you're not supposed to ask God because it's not his will. And so it gives you great confidence when you want something or have a need for something, and you know that the Word has already given you the ability to ask God for it. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, it says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, in Christ, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of him. So as we have come before the Lord with a prayer of petition, if we know that it is God's will for us to have something that we have need of or a desire for, and we know that it is God's will for us to have it, then we have confidence in that kind of prayer. And so his word is his will for us. And so We need that confidence when we find those petitions in the Word. Secondly, we need to ask God whatever we're desiring to receive from Him. And then at that point when we ask, we are to believe that we receive. In Mark, we looked at a couple of weeks ago, we looked at Mark 11, chapter 11, verse 23. Jesus is talking and He said, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says." And he follows up saying in verse 24, "Therefore," and you know what that "therefore" is there for, because of what I just said, "therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." And we talked some about that. We'll talk a little more later on. Another point that we talked about was, after we pray, we need to stay positive. We believe that we receive when we pray and ask according to God's will. And then, you know, some things may show up instantly. Other things may take some time. Well, from the time you ask to the time that it shows up in the natural or whatever the kind of petition you're asking, there's a lapse time there. And you need to guard what my wife was talking about, your confession, what comes out of your mouth. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if you want to say something that goes against what you already believe in, that you ask from God, then you are nullifying your own prayer. So we need to be positive and determined in our thinking, because our mind is the one where the enemy battles the most. And where we struggle the most. Our thoughts are governed by the things we observe, the things we associate, and the things we are taught. And so we need to allow every thought and desire affirm the prayer that we just prayed, that we believe that we are receiving from God. We need to see ourselves with the answer, even before the answer shows up in the natural. And we need to get rid of any image of suggestion, vision, dream, impression, feeling, or any other thought that does not affirm that we have that which we have prayed and believe that we receive for. And so I brought Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, which I ask you to memorize, because you are going to need that in your battle of the mind. You need to quote this to yourself. Finally, brethren, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Think on these things, King James says. We need to be thinking positive and not allowing our minds to go into the gutter. Another point we brought, a very important one, is while that period between the believing for the prayer and the answer coming, we need to continually thank God for the answer. That also refreshes our mind and resets it to think, I've got this answer. The Lord said, I can have it, so it's mine. I already asked according to His will. He heard me. We have confidence that the petition is coming. And so you're thanking Him beforehand. We have to have a thankful heart. It cannot just be about ourselves. Philippians 4:6 talks about that. Be anxious for nothing. Anxiety is of the enemy. Worry is of the enemy. be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made unto God. So that's part of prayer. Your mental attitude and your gratefulness towards the Lord, because you are praying, you are believing, He's responding right then. You have the assurance that you have your petition, and you're thanking God for it. So, these are some of the principles that we talked last time. Today, I wanted to reaffirm some of these principles and bring other important aspects of prayer to our understanding today. In John, the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 23, Jesus is talking to his disciples. Let me go there and get the full context of what's happening here. So, Jesus is talking to his disciples saying, you know, I'm going to go away. I'm going to be with you for a little while, but then I'm going to be gone away. And I'm going to send you a helper, the Holy Spirit. And the disciples sort of got confused. And, you know, they were troubled. And Jesus said, you know, are you troubled because I say I'm going to go away? And he spoke about the Holy Spirit coming and giving them comfort. And he says, you know, I'll go away, but then everything will change. And so in John chapter 16, verse 23, he says, and in that day, meaning in the day when I am buried, I die on the cross, I am buried, and then the third day I'm raised from the dead, and I am proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. That's when the new covenant starts in effect. A new covenant, a new testament, the new beginning of the church age. And Jesus is saying, in that day, when I am glorified and the Holy Spirit comes, the day of Pentecost, and the church is fully equipped, he says, in that day, you will ask me nothing. Now, you know, once I think of that, it sort of contradicts some of the things that I've been doing. You know, I ask Jesus for a lot of things because that's what I was taught. And yet, Jesus himself saying here, in that day you will ask me nothing. This is a New Testament way of prayer. He says, most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. And verse 24 follows up saying, until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. This is an interesting conversation here that Jesus is bringing. So when that time would come, would be the day of Pentecost, the believers were to ask the Father in the name of Jesus. They were not to ask anything as far as a prayer petition directed to Jesus himself. He's saying, "You up till now, you have asked nothing in my name. Even to the Father, you have not used my name. But in that day, you will start using my name to ask the Father." And so, this is a New Testament way of prayer. You ask the Father in the name of Jesus. Jesus himself instructed us on that. Now, way before this was at the end, close to his death. Early in his ministry, the disciples came to Jesus and said, you know, Jesus, John teaches his disciples, John the Baptist, teaches his disciples stuff like prayer and stuff. Why won't you teach us how to pray? And Jesus said, okay. Now, Jesus was praying still in the old covenant. The new covenant was not in force because Jesus had not paid the ultimate sacrifice. So in the period while he was with the disciples, the old covenant was still in effect. And this is the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. In Matthew 6, verse 9, he says, in this manner, therefore, pray. He was teaching his disciples how to pray as they asked. He started the prayer, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we see this prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. It starts with praise. It starts with declaring the promises that God had made. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth. And then it goes into petition. Forgive us. Give us stuff that we need. And then protect us. Don't lead us into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. And then it ends up with praise. Now that is a great prayer. Prayer sample is a great way to approach the throne of God. But that's in the Old Testament. The principle still works. But Jesus has given us a few details that work in the New Testament now. We now have a new covenant with much better promises, as Hebrews 8 says. Hebrews 8, verse 6 says, but now he, as Jesus, he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Now, the Old Testament had great promises, and we're still enjoying many of them. But that's why we have a new covenant, a new testament, a new agreement with God, a new, it's a covenant, contract, if you will. And it's better than the old one. It didn't do away with the old one in its entirety. It's just better. I'd rather ride a car in town than ride a bicycle, especially in this heat. I mean, the bicycle will do the job, but the car will do it for me much more comfortable. So I'd rather take the car. So now, in the New Testament, where we are operating in, the scriptural way to pray is to ask the Father in the name of Jesus. But now you need to remember, if Jesus is not your Savior, then God is not your Father. And if God is not your Father, you have no right to ask and expect an answer from our Heavenly Father. The father of anyone unsaved, the real father, is the devil. You say, what? In John chapter 8, Jesus was talking in the temple, and some of the Jews were believing, but the Pharisees and Sadducees, you know, they were there, always antagonizing and using words against Jesus. And Jesus said, you know, if you believe my word, you abide in my word, you will be my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And the Pharisees and Sadducees, we are free. We don't need to be set free. We're sons of God. And Jesus said, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. And then he asked a question. It was a rhetorical question, of course. Why you do not understand my speech? And he answered it himself really quick. Because you're not able to listen to my word. In other words, they couldn't understand with their heart and accept the truth that Jesus were giving to them. They would be able to hear and listen with their ears, but they would not receive it in their hearts. And they just fought him every which way. You know, if you think about it, this prayer petition, we come before God and we consider our petitions more important or more greatness than the one we're asking to. We come before God and, Lord, I want such and such. You know, I want healing of my body. I want provision. I want this new thing, this new that. And we know that God has already given us the ability and the right to claim these things. And yet, because they don't show up immediately, then we say, well, I guess God's not going to do it, so I'll have to do it myself. And many of us are ones that would ask God, and when he doesn't answer in a few seconds, then we go about doing it in our own strength. Well, that's the old way of thinking. When we used to belong to the enemy, if you have made Jesus Lord of your life, then you have a heavenly Father that would meet your needs when you ask him. So Jesus says, you're not able to listen to my words. And then he says that statement in verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. So not everyone on earth has a heavenly father. Now we have a heavenly creator, but we have to be adopted into the family through salvation, through Jesus Christ. So, if you receive Jesus as your Savior, then your Heavenly Father will answer your prayer made in the name of Jesus. So from now on, your prayers should be directed to your Father in Jesus' name if you are a Christian. Again, look at scriptures in John 16, verse 23. And in that day, the day that the new covenant takes root on earth, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. And then verse 24, until now you have asked nothing in my name. He hadn't taught him that. And then he says, ask. And you say, well, if God knows everything, why doesn't he just give it to me? Well, I don't know, but he said, ask. Jesus himself is telling us to ask the Father. Next point I'm going to bring is a repeat, but we tend to overlook its importance. Where'd it go? Mark 11, 24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. He doesn't say that you believe that you shall receive later on. He says you believe that you receive them right there. If we think that he says that we shall receive, that's believing for the future. No, God wants you to believe right now. You need to believe that you receive the moment you ask the Father in Jesus' name. This is faith in action. See, faith in action is what pleases God. And that is what gets answered. Some of us, when we were dependent upon our parents, we would go to mom and said, you know, it's lunchtime. Mom, I want some food. And mom would be preparing something in the kitchen. Yes, honey, be right up. And 2 seconds go by, and you're already looking. Why isn't the plate in my table already? No, you don't think that. You basically know. Mom said she'll fix it up and be there very quickly, and you just patiently wait, sometimes longer than others, depending on how the cooking is going. And so, but we know mama's cooking is going to get done, and I'm going to be satisfied. If you, being evil, know how to give your children good things, how much will your Heavenly Father answer the prayer to his children? He is a perfect God. He's never late. He's never early, but he's always on time. And he does things perfectly. He doesn't burn the food. He doesn't undercook it. He just provides just the right amount for the right time, and it just tastes beautiful. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith it is difficult, no, impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What does that mean? That means you trust God. If he promised that if you ask something according to his will, he hears you. And if he hears you, you have the petition. When you ask it, then faith believes right then and there. Faith receives the fact that that's done. I don't have to pray about it anymore. And faith will say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for answering my prayer. Even though in the natural, it may not be there. I know that that sounds difficult to many of us. When we were born and grew up as a child, no one expected us to start going to school at fifth grade level. No one. Back in my day, we always started first grade. Now some of you start K4, K5, something like that. But you start at the beginning. And nobody thinks that that is odd. That's natural. We all start at first grade. We grow properly until we are ready to be in fifth grade. It is the natural way of things to develop. The spiritual works in a very similar process. We don't start praying perfect prayers and seeing answers for the first time. When you ride a bicycle, you don't just do it and do it perfectly the first time. You try and you test and you learn and you practice. Did you get better and better at it? Many of us have heard these scriptures that I read to you before many times. And yet many of us don't practice them very often. If we did, there would be a lot of testimonies here on Sundays. We think we do, but many times we're praying in doubt and unbelief. We ask, and if we don't see the manifestation instantly, we cancel our request with words of doubt and actions of doubt. James had something to say about that. In James chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord." So faith is required in our petition prayers to the Lord, along with the other things I've discussed. And so, where did I go? Here you go. You will have the answer to your prayer after you believe that you receive, when you exercise your faith. Mark 11:24. "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. And then, after you believe that you receive them, even though in the natural it's not there, then they'll show up in the natural. But the believing part has to come first." So if you continue to ask the same thing over and over, and I'm talking about a prayer petition here, prayer of faith, if you continue to ask the same thing over and over, you're not praying in faith that you will receive when you prayed and asked for the petition. We need to grow to it. It's not something that comes in natural. We have to practice. But it's a principle given in the Word. So you choose either to believe your instinct and stay praying the same thing over and over and talking yourself out of it, or you learn to pray the way the Lord instructed. You ask the Father in Jesus' name, believe that we received the petition right when we asked it, thank the Father for it, and then in the process continue to believe that we have that petition until it shows up. Now, if you do come before the Father a second time, then come in faith, thanking the Father that he has already heard you for the first time you prayed. You know, you may want to remind the Father, "Hey, Father, I know you're busy doing all kind of things, but, you know, I asked you yesterday, and I thank you for the answer." Don't say, "Why don't you haven't answered my prayer yet?" You just talk yourself out of an answer right there. But I tell you, the fact is, we need to pray less about our constant petition and thank God more for the answer right then, and we will start seeing God answering left and right and seeing blessings coming our way. You know, you cannot have head faith. "Well, I think God will do it." No, it has to be from the heart. Heart faith. And that takes practice. We know a lot of things. We think that because we know, we can do all kinds of things. But knowing in the head is very different from knowing in the heart. This is why physical healing is kind of difficult at times. You know, the flesh, the feelings, the symptoms pull us back from the spiritual faith believing to the feeling. I said, "Well, I guess I'm not getting healed at all because I still got this pain." Well, the pain has got nothing to do with the fact that you got the answer. You just have to hang in there. But we talk ourselves out of the answer when we say, "Well, I guess God didn't heal me. Or I still got these symptoms. I don't know what's taking so long." Well, God is busy answering your prayer when you pray first. And you're not giving time, just like you don't give time for mom to cook that steak very well before serving it. We need to grow to the point that we believe the word of God more than what our body is telling us, the way we feel, the symptoms. Oh, I think I'm going to catch the flu. Well, don't catch it. You're just inviting flu in your body. Well, I feel sick. I think I'm getting it. You just talk yourself out of a healing prayer right there. Lord, I thank you that you gave me a healthy body and that it rejects viruses and parasites and bacteria and all of that. And I thank you that I walk in divine health. Even though you may feel sick, that's a physical thing. You are hanging to a spiritual principle, and that brings results. Believe that you receive before you see the answer. And believing is not struggling constantly in prayer. You're supposed to say a prayer to the Father in Jesus' name. Believe you receive, thank him for it, and go about as if you just everything was hunky-dory because it is. And finally, I know it's late, but I got one more point about prayer that I need to bring. It has to do with this funny word, forgive. Mark 11, 25, Jesus, after he taught the disciples how to pray, he brought this point, forgiveness. Mark 11, 25 says, and whenever you stand praying, this is Jesus talking, if you have anything against anyone, that is a big territory. If you have anything against anyone, forgive him or her or it, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. No one can have an active, effective prayer life and also have something inside of him or her heart against anyone. Prayers will not get answered if we have bitterness, if we're holding resentment, revenge, hatred. If you have an attitude of, I want to get even, you know, God is not going to answer if your heart is not right. God is not going to continue to prosper you when you have unforgiveness in your heart. You know, it doesn't matter what is in other people's heart as far as you're concerned. That cannot affect you unless you let it, of course. But they can be rotten to the core inside and you don't have to take offense to it. But what in your heart against others, that will hinder you and your prayer walk and your walk with the Lord. In fact, that's why Proverbs 4 verse 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Everything that happens in your life flows from your heart, and that's why you have to protect it. And you cannot allow bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, hatred. Get rid of those things. In fact, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, Paul instructed the Ephesians, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. And as you forgive, it will allow your prayers to be answered and allow the blessings of God to flow more freely in your prayer life. Are we petitioning the Father in the name of Jesus? Are we finding that those petitions are for us in the Word? Are we believing that we receive the answers when we pray? Are we giving thanks to the Father for those answers? Are we keeping our mouths from negative thinking and canceling the answers? And are we keeping our hearts free of unforgiveness? That is the prayer challenge. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you laid out instructions for us to follow, Father. And I know that's just one type of prayer, Lord. You have set boundaries for every type of prayer, intercession, thanksgiving, commitment, all those prayers. You have laid boundaries for us to pray properly. Father, help us to know your principles, and Father, to follow them properly so that we can be receiving the things that you have already freely given to us, that we may enjoy life to the fullness, and that you can work in us to bring about your good purpose. Father, I bless you people, and I thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. If anyone needs prayer, we're going to be here for a little bit. God bless. You're dismissed.